And any work of awakening grace will always be opposed by the enemy of our souls. The evil one will consistently seek to keep us in spiritual drowsiness. He continually seeks to keep us under a spell of spiritual sleep so that awakening won't occur. Well, I have a clip this morning that highlights that reality rather well. It's from an all-time classic, The Wizard of Oz. In many ways, The Wizard of Oz is an entire story about renewal. The Scarecrow longs for a renewed mind. The Tin Man longs for a renewed heart. The Lion longs for restored and renewed courage. And Dorothy longs to be restored to her home. And yet what we learn is that as we seek renewal, just like the characters in The Wizard of Oz are opposed as they seek their renewal, as we seek renewal, we will be opposed as well. Watch the clip. Now, I know you all want that to continue, but there is a sermon in here for us to at least cover. You can watch it later on this afternoon. The Wicked Witch really does exist. Oh, not in witch form. But there is a devil. And he opposes every renewing work of God's grace. And he does it through spiritual poppies, things that are attractive to the eye and soothing to the smell. But all they do is put us into a spiritual stupor so that revival and awakening is hindered. Well, today we're going to learn that when we cry out for help, help is always near. When we feel that we can't run anymore to the Emerald City of renewal and awakening, when others can't even pull us along, if we would just pause and cry out, help will fall as grace from heaven upon us. Let's all stand and hear the Word of God. 2 Chronicles verses chapter 15, verses 1 to 16. This is the Word of God. Listen. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found by them. In those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every sort of distress. But you, take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. As soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded, he took courage and put away the detestable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities that he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the vestibule of the house of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who were residing with them. For great numbers had deserted to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. They sacrificed to the Lord on that day from the spoil that they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. But that whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They swore an oath to the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with their whole desire. And he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. Even Maacah, his mother, King Asa removed from being queen mother because she had made a detestable image for Asherah. May God bless the hearing and teaching of his inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative word. Let's pray together. Father, we long for renewal, but we know we'll be opposed. But greater are you, O God, who is in us, than he who is in the world. So come, Holy Spirit, minister to us the finished work of Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, for some of you, you recognize that we're simply concluding a message that we began a couple weeks ago. We had a little bit of a speed bump in there because it was Pentecost, but it really wasn't a speed bump at all. It was something to actually make us run even further and deeper and faster through this passage and through this grace. Last week, we learned that at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it was uniquely an outpouring of the Spirit of God, a unique renewal, a unique awakening. But what we also learned was that though it was in some ways unique, Pentecost was merely the first in a series of promised awakenings that God will pour out upon his church time after time after time after time until Christ returns. What we also learned last week is that visitation from on high, the grace that falls from heaven that awakens us, comes as a result of persistent, prevailing prayer for renewal. We saw that illustrated in the clip this morning. As the Tin Man became desperate and Scarecrow understood who they were up against and their powerlessness and their helplessness, and they cried out, "Help! Help!" And then even there, we see the fallenness of the flesh. As Scarecrow says, "What are you doing crying out? There's no one to hear us in a time like this." And then Scarecrow's doubt continues. "It's snowing." "No, it couldn't be snowing." "Yes, it is." "It won't help." "Couldn't help." "Maybe it will." "No, it won't." That is so me. That is just so me. And yet we are called to new faith, fresh passion, as we seek renewal and awakening by God's grace. See, our cries are heard. And shouting pleas of desperation to God helps more than you know. Remember the foundation of this sort of series on renewal, Luke 11? If any one of you has a child and they come to you for a fish, you don't give them a snake. And if they come to you for a loaf, you don't give them a stone. Well, if you, being evil, know how to give what is good to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Second Chronicles offers us some help in our aid to fight Satan, to battle the enemy as he battles us and seeks to keep us in a place of spiritual drowsiness through any number of spiritual poppies. We are to fight back. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. We remember our fighters. We are to fight back with all our might and cry out that grace from on high might fall. Two more helps. You saw the video on the basics of renewal. Two more helps brought to us by grace from heaven to help us wake up. We experience spiritual awakening by understanding the background, not just the basics, but the background of renewal and revival. Look at verse 3. The first necessary element to renewal is brokenness. Not a word we want to hear, but it's true, folks. Every time you see a renewal, awakening, it always takes place in the midst of brokenness in the people of God. Verse 3, for a long time Israel was without the true God, without a teaching priest, without the law. Azariah here is talking about the period of the judges, when every person in the church did what was right in their own eyes. The judges teaches us a cycle of prosperity and decline and repentance and renewal that occurred all throughout the book of Judges. But it occurs in the church in our day as well. And it occurs in our own personal lives. We experience prosperity, the blessing of God. And it ends up being spiritual poppies that lure us into spiritual sleep. And we forget God. We forsake God. And God lets us go. And then because of forsaking God, distress comes into our lives. Difficulty, trouble. And it becomes oppressive. And in our desperation, we are forced to cry out again for God to visit us. And He grants us repentance. And that repentance leads to renewal. And renewal, unfortunately, often leads to prosperity. And then prosperity leads to decline. And decline leads to distress. And distress, hopefully, leads to God sending His grace as we cry out and we experience renewal, and then we experience revival, and then we experience prosperity, and the cycle goes on and on and on. See, when the church forgets God and His Word and His church, there will always be consequences. You know, we have elections on Tuesday, and I'm committed to the political process, folks. Let me just say it right here. We all ought to be out on Tuesday and we ought to vote. It's our privilege and it's our responsibility. But you know what really irks me about the Church of Jesus Christ? How many people I hear talking constantly about our politicians. I'm going to say this once. The problem with America is not its politicians. The problem with America is the church. Over and over and over, we're told in Scripture that it is the church that is to rise up. It is the church that is to bring the real message that the world needs to hear. Politicians can't do that, nor are they in a way even supposed to. It is the church that needs to be renewed. And when the church is renewed, and the church remembers God, and the church remembers God's law, and the church remembers itself, then we will see politics changed. But so many Christians are going about it backwards, that we think politics is going to change the church. It's the church that's going to change politics. So look at verse 6. Because of their sin, because of forgetting God, the church was broken in pieces. They were crushed. God troubled them. Woo! Does it say that? Yeah, it does. Not Satan. God. God troubles His people. Again, just to take us back to the somber announcement this morning. God troubles us when we are in sin. He troubles us. He sends distress. He sends difficulty. He sends trial. Why? Because He's trying to woo us back to Himself. You see, when we're afflicted, we become desperate. When we become desperate, we turn our eyes to God. When we cry out to God, He sends grace from on high. And when grace comes, it renews us. It awakens us. It revives us. God is committed so much to our best that He will send distress to break us so that we would seek Him. And why the enemy seeks to keep us from embracing brokenness is because power enters our lives in the midst of our brokenness. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9, Paul was afflicted. He was suffering so greatly that he tells us he despaired even of life. And then he says this, God did this so that we might learn not to rely upon ourselves, but upon God who raises the dead. When we experience affliction, difficulty, distress, it awakens us out of our self-reliance and self-sufficiency and causes us to rely upon the God who raises the dead. That's what renewal is. It's awakening the dead in the church. It's an awakening the dead places of our souls. It's grace bringing renewal to us. What troubles are you facing right now? What difficulties are just laying you out? Has it entered your consciousness that perhaps, rather than a bad thing, it is actually the precursor to the background of God bringing renewal to your life? And then the second necessary element of the background renewal is encouragement or challenge. Look at verse 7. Azariah says to Asa, but you, take courage. It's like Moses to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. That word courage means to take hold of yourself. It means to seize yourself. It means to say, gain some self-control. And stop being fearful and timid and intimidated by the evil one. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but one of power and of love and of courage and a sound mind. Again, he says, do not let your hands be weak. How can we not think about the cowardly lion? The opposite of courage is weakness. It means to get discouraged. It means to be downhearted. It means to disengage, to do nothing, to abandon your responsibilities in the face of adversity. It means to give up. It means to drop the ball, to sink down and shrivel up in times of distress instead of moving courageously forward. Listen, the one thing about courage, it's impossible unless there's the presence of fear. Just like grace is impossible unless there's the presence of sin, courage is impossible unless there's the presence of fear. The whole idea of courage is moving forward in the presence of fear. So if you're fearful, great! That's an incredible opportunity for courage as we seek it from God. In Hebrews 12:12, it says, lift up your drooping hands and strengthen your weak legs. We need to encourage each other to be courage. And courage, it means to put courage in. We're to be like the scarecrow when he loses the straw. And the straw in our lives is courage. And the same way that Dorothy would stuff new straw in there. We're to do that in each other's lives. We're to encourage each other. We're to press courage into each other's lives. So that we'd move forward and trust God for awakening. And then the third necessary element of the background of spiritual renewal is response. Listen, we've got to choose. We've got to respond. To not respond is not putting off a decision. It's already having made a decision to say no to renewal. Look at verse 8. As soon as Asa heard the words, he took courage and put away the idols. As soon as he heard the words, immediately. Delayed obedience is disobedience, right? Delayed obedience is disobedience. And all these talks and messages on renewal and awakening, they all come down to a call for a response. Are you going to put away your idols? Are you going to seek God? Do you long to find Him? Are you going to respond? We honor courage tomorrow, Memorial Day, the day when we remember all those who died in America's wars. You may not know this, but there are about 26 different towns that claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day. Actually, for such a large day, 26 is probably a small number. One of the unofficial towns is 5 minutes from where I grew up. Just on the outskirts of State College, Pennsylvania, there's a town called Bowlesburg. Bowlesburg claims to be the actual birthplace of Memorial Day. In October of 1864, two women met at the cemetery adjacent to Zion Lutheran Church in Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, not 5 minutes from where I lived. The one woman was there to place flowers on the grave of her father, who died of yellow fever while attending wounded soldiers in the Civil War. The other woman was there to place posies on the grave of her son, who had just been killed in the Battle of Gettysburg. The first Memorial Day, when we remember courage, when we remember those who fought for freedom. Folks, all renewal is a new Memorial Day, where we remember that we are called to fight for freedom, that we are called to be strong and courageous in the Lord and the power of His might, so that we might experience awakening and be channels of renewal. So we experience spiritual awakening by understanding the basics of renewal, the background of renewal, and then thirdly this morning, by understanding the bargain of renewal. Folks, I want you to be absolutely clear on one thing, and you can pray for me because of this. God promises renewal. God promises awakening. I believe God promises revival, but it comes at a very steep price. Renewal is costly. Make no mistake, it will cost you personally. There's no cheap grace in renewal. Look at verse 7. The promise of the bargain. Take courage, for your work shall be rewarded. You see that? There's a promise there. As you take courage, seek God, try to find Him, forsake your idols, there is a promise that your work will be rewarded. Same thing in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whoever comes to God must come believing that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So look at verse 12. Look what the people of Israel do under Asa. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. That's the first cost of renewal. Entering into a covenant to seek God. Now, if you don't think that seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness isn't costly, then you need an awakening before your awakening. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord with all their heart and with all their soul. In other words, there's a renewed commitment to the Lordship of Christ that needs to be made if renewal is going to occur. Remember the revival in 1904, 1905 I've talked about that occurred in Wales? A college student named Evan Roberts called people to renewal. Four things he said were necessary. First of all, confess all your known sin. Secondly, put away any doubtful habit. Thirdly, obey the Holy Spirit promptly when He convicts you or leads you or guides you. And fourthly, confess your faith in Christ to the lost, to the least, and to one another. So there's a cost in one sense to renewal, to seeking first God and His kingdom. But that cost is a bargain. Remember the story in Genesis 29? When Jacob fell in love with Rachel and he served Rachel's dad 14 years in order to marry her. And the text tells us, it says, those 14 years seemed to him as just a few days. So great was his love for her. See, this is why renewal is a bargain. It all comes down to what we love. If we love God, then the cost, no matter what it is, seems small because of our love for Him, which, of course, is the response of His love for us. So it'll cost us to seek first the kingdom. Secondly, there's a material cost to renewal and awakening. Look at verse 11. They sacrificed to the Lord 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. Now, I'm not so sure how much 700 oxen are worth. But obviously, the way it's written, that must be worth a great amount. Because it's written as though it's a very impressive number. 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. I don't know what that relates to as far as our culture is concerned. But I'll tell you this. The bottom line is, God is saying, are you ready for renewal? Because if renewal comes, it will cost us financially, materially. Every time there's been renewal, there has been a spirit of generosity that has been poured out upon the church. Every time. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? What is grace? Grace is simply God's generosity. And in renewal, we become more like God. We become generous. After Pentecost, Acts chapter 4. There were no needy people in the church in Jerusalem. Nobody claimed anything was their own. Matter of fact, whoever had lands and houses, they went and sold the properties and brought the proceeds. And Barnabas was one of those, the son of encouragement. He laid the money at the apostles' feet. Well, again, the bargain there. Malachi 3 in the Gospels. In 2 Corinthians, we're told, listen, if we sow bountifully, we will reap bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we will reap sparingly. You know, at the very moment we're so close to renewal, is the enemy sowing seeds of spiritual poppies, attractive to the eyes, sweet to the smell, but there's poison in it. It costs to seek first God in the kingdom. It costs us materially. Then thirdly, it'll cost us in terms of relationships. It'll cost us in terms of friendships if God brings renewal. Are you ready for that? Verse 13, whoever would not seek the Lord would be put to death. Now, obviously, we're not going to go kill anybody. But we may put to death certain relationships. Folks, some of us are involved in relationships that aren't pressing us toward Christ. Some of us are not involved in the best relationships because we're involved in good relationships. When renewal comes, or perhaps the price of renewal, I should say, is grace calling us to forsake some relationships in order that we might be in a more positive spiritual frame of mind. Listen, didn't Jesus say this? This isn't a surprise, is it? Matthew 10, verse 37. Whoever, Jesus says, loves family more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves father, mother, sister, brother, wife, husband more than me is not worthy of following me. But where's the bargain? Jesus says as well. There's no one who has left mother, sister, brother, father, husband, wife, who won't receive 100 times as much in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. Look at verse 16. Asa did, in fact, forsake his mother. Maacah, his mother, King Asa removed from being queen mother. Are there certain relationships that are getting in the way of you experiencing renewal? Or let me ask you this. Are you failing to invest in certain relationships that would make renewing grace more of a likelihood? Then look at verse 14. There's also possibly the cost of reputation. They swore an oath with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and horns. Remember when David brought the ark into Jerusalem and he celebrated with dancing and his wife, Michal, looked at him and despised him, thought he was being a jerk, thought he looked like a fool, thought he looked like an idiot. Whoa, David, didn't you distinguish yourself this afternoon? Well, it ended up that David was in the right. David was worshiping God with all of his might. And he was thought a fool by his wife. Are you willing to be thought a fool by your wife? By your husband? By your children? By your work associates? By your friends? Are you willing to be thought a fool for Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that renewal might come? There was a man in New York City for a long time who wore one of those sandwich boards. You know, you have cardboard in front, cardboard in the back, and it was painted. Only he wasn't selling hot dogs. On the front of the sandwich board it said, "I'm a fool for Christ." And people saw it and snickered and mocked and jeered until they turned around and saw the back of the board, which said, "Whose fool are you?" We're all fools for something. Some of us are fools for money and possession. Some of us are fools for power and reputation. Paul says, "I'm a fool for Christ." Whose fool are you? Are you fool enough to be broken before God? Are you fool enough to respond to the challenge to be courageous? To be a warrior? Listen, the gospel calls us to be lovers. Amen. The gospel also calls us to be warriors. Is grace doing a deep enough work in our hearts that we're willing to fight for freedom? Are you fool enough to accept the costs of lordship, whether they be financial or relational? Church, we have been asleep far, far too long. Are we ready to put away our idols and to seek the God of our fathers? You think about that.